Welcome to Cosmetology School Accounting, a mini podcast series where we dive into key financial topics for cosmetology schools in just a few minutes. This mini cast is designed to give you valuable insight in a quick, easily digestible format, perfect for the busy professional. So sit back and enjoy the show. Hi everyone, I'm Desiree Anderson and welcome to Cosmetology School Accounting, your go-to podcast for quick, actionable financial insights tailored for cosmetology schools. So in today's episode, we're going to be diving into the essentials of budgeting for your institution. So let's get started. All right, so when it comes to running a cosmetology school, budgeting, it's not just about crunching numbers, which we know sounds boring. It's more about creating a financial roadmap that helps you achieve your goals. Now, a strong budget ensures that you're allocating your resources wisely, also that you're preparing for unexpected costs and maintaining financial health. So without a budget, it's really easy to overspend or, more important, to miss critical expenses, which could jeopardize your school's ability to thrive. So, question is, where do you start? Well, let's break it down into four different steps with some practical examples along the way. All right. So first, you want to start out with understanding your income sources, right? The first step in creating a budget is understanding where your money comes from. That's number one. So for cosmetology schools, your primary income streams tend to be tuition, fees, possibly retail products if your school sells retail products, and in some cases, it's clinic service revenue. So if you have the public coming in to receive services from your students, that will be considered clinic service revenue. Now, some schools might also receive government funding and also government grants. So let's dive deeper into these income streams. Okay, number one, tuition and fees. If your school offers flexible payment plans, remember that cash flow timing is going to be different from schools that require full payment upfront. For example, if your tuition is say $10,000 and 50% of your students opt for a monthly plan, your income is going to trickle in slower. So you want to make sure that you plan for months when income might be a little bit lower. Second, retail sales. If you sell products, let's say like shampoo, conditioner, or other products, make sure to track profit margins very carefully. So if you're not making, or if rather, if you're not marking your products up by at least 30 to 40%, it might not be worth the effort that it takes to carry retail products. I would say that 50% is a good markup percentage. When I had my salon, I used to mark retail products up by 100%, which, you know, it may seem a little aggressive, but it worked for me at the time and it made it worth selling retail products. Thirdly, let's talk about clinic floor income. So when it comes to clinic floor income, it's important to treat it like any other income stream in your school, okay? You want to first ensure that you're tracking it carefully and consistently. This isn't just about knowing how much is coming in. It's about understanding how it impacts your overall operations. Think about pricing. Are you charging enough to cover your costs, including supplies and supervision, while still offering value to your clients? A good rule of thumb is to set prices that are slightly below local market rates to attract clients while ensuring that you're still making a profit. For example, if your local salon charges, say, $50 for a haircut, charging, say, $35 to maybe $40 on the clinic floor might hit that sweet spot that some people are looking for. Here's a tip about budgeting for income. You want to use historical data to project income, but don't assume that every seat in your school will always be filled, right? So you want to base your estimates on last year's actual enrollment trends, and then you want to consider seasonal variations. For instance, schools often see higher enrollments at the beginning of a semester, but enrollments may slow down during the summer months. So you can look at your last year's trend to see what happened. And sometimes it's good to even use 2 years worth of data, because then that gives you a little bit more insight into what those trends are. So if you're looking at 2 years worth of data and you're noticing that at the same time within a year that enrollment is up and down within a 2-year time period, you can use this information to now budget for the year that you are actually budgeting for. Okay, so number 2 is categorizing expenses on a fixed basis versus a variable basis. So let's break down your expenses into these two categories, which are fixed and variable. Okay, so what are fixed costs? Fixed costs are predictable and consistent, such as rent, utilities, and salaries for your staff. These types of expenses must be covered. You don't have an option. You have to pay your utility bills, you have to pay rent, and you have to pay your staff, right? So these are considered fixed costs. And there may be a little bit of variation when it comes to utility bills, but it's not gonna be a huge variation unless, of course, you're comparing summer to winter, okay? And then you want to make sure you're taking that into consideration as you're creating your budget. Then you have your variable costs, which fluctuate, and that includes items like supplies for students, marketing costs, and even equipment repairs. Because with an equipment repair, you never know when that's going to happen. With marketing, that's almost like gambling. You just really don't know what to expect. And then for supplies for students, that could also fluctuate depending on various situations. So here's where I want you to get strategic, okay? You want to go through your past expenses and identify any trends. For example, do you spend more on supplies during enrollment periods versus any other time of the year? Is your marketing heavier during certain times of the year versus other times? If the answer is yes to any of these or other costs that are variable, you want to build those assumptions into your budget. Okay. Also, you want to add a line item in your budget for emergency reserves. Let's say, for example, your school's monthly operating costs is normally $30,000. Ideally, your reserve funds should cover at least 3 months of expenses, or $90,000 in this case. You can always start small if you need to, but you want to make sure that you are building this emergency fund because you want to absolutely make it a priority. Think about it in our personal lives. We are always advised to make sure we have 3 months worth of bills available just in case something happens to us. We lose our job, we get sick, our income reduces for whatever reason. We want to make sure we have 3 months worth of expenses to cover our personal expenses. But it's the same thing when it comes to your business. You also want to make sure that you have enough reserves just in case something happens that was totally unexpected, okay? All right, so number 3 is planning for growth. Every school owner wants to grow, right? Us as human beings, we all want to grow. But growth needs some sort of strategic plan. It's really tempting to just say throw money at marketing or expand too quickly or to splurge on state-of-the-art equipment. But here's the question you need to ask yourself. Will these expenses or will this expense that you're about to incur increase enrollment? Is it going to improve retention or will it add significant value to your school? Because when it's all said and done, these are the things that are important. So when you're spending your money, you want to make sure that you are thinking about these things and strategizing to make sure that everything that goes out the door financially has some sort of positive return. Now, that being said, you may not necessarily hit the mark every time, but you want to be intentional about strategically planning that way you're giving yourself the opportunity to be more successful than not, right? Let me give you an example. If you're considering upgrading your student kits, for example, say from $500 to say $700 per student, you want to analyze the return on investment. Will the upgraded kit justify raising tuition or will it help attract higher paying students? If not, or if the answer is no, then you want to consider a smaller upgrade or you want to find a more cost-effective supplier. Similarly, if you're spending, let's just say $5,000 a month on social media ads, but only gaining 3 new enrollments, it might be time for you to rethink your strategy. If your marketing cost isn't increasing enrollment relative to what you are spending, you may want to look into less expensive marketing options like that's really an option, because as we know, marketing is extremely expensive. But you want to just start thinking about other ways that you can, you know, increase enrollment, like partnerships with local salons or hosting free workshops for prospective students. Now, I know marketing can be tricky because you never really know what the outcome of a marketing campaign is going to be. Okay, so let's move on to number four, which is track and adjust your budget. Here's the truth, right? Budgets are living documents. It's not something you just set it and forget it, right? You need to track your actual income and expenses against your budget on a monthly basis. Here's how you could possibly achieve this or do it effectively. You want to use accounting software like QuickBooks or some other software to automate your income and expenses, okay? You also want to set aside time each month, maybe the first Monday of the month, to go back and to review your financials and adjust your budget if necessary. For example, let's say you budgeted, say, $2,000 for marketing in January, but a special opportunity came up that costs about $3,000. That's okay, right? Don't say, oh, I can't spend the extra $1,000. But what you can do is you can adjust by cutting back, say, $1,000 somewhere else to stay balanced. You might even want to look at different areas. It doesn't have to be from one particular area that you stripped $1,000. You can look at different accounts and you can strip those budgets down until it equals $1,000. Now, if you feel like you have enough money to cover that extra $1,000, then okay, it's not necessarily to strip down, but you want to be very conscious and intentional about what you're doing. Now, earlier I said that, you know, you should set aside maybe the first Monday of the month to review your budget. That is because from my personal experience, when you define a task, okay, and you're intentional about sticking to that task, it's more likely than not that you're going to remain consistent. And as we all know, consistency is the secret to success in both small and large goals. All right, so now that you know the basics, let's talk about three common pitfalls that can derail even the best budget. Number one, ignoring small expenses. Have you ever heard the phrase, which I'm quite sure you have, death by a thousand cuts? Well, it's true even for budgeting as well. Small unnoticed expenses like $50 a month subscriptions, $30 a month miscellaneous type expenses, miscellaneous meaning you're just spending money randomly on things that may or may not be necessary, they can all add up. So you want to review your expenses quarterly and cancel any subscriptions that you're currently not using, or you want to cut down on random expenses that have no value to your school. Number two, not budgeting for maintenance. Now, equipment like pedicure chairs, hair dryers, steamers, and other clinic floor equipment will eventually need repairs. So you want to make sure that you're budgeting for these costs upfront so that you avoid scrambling when something finally does break down. Number three, overestimating income. It's always better to underestimate income and be pleasantly surprised than it is to overstate and fall short. So you want to make sure you're using conservative projections for your budget, especially when it comes to revenue. Okay, so before we wrap things up, I want to share a few tools that can make budgeting, a little bit easier. Number one, think about a budgeting spreadsheet. So if you're tech savvy, you can create a detailed spreadsheet that can track your income and your expenses on a monthly basis. Number two, accounting software. QuickBooks is an accounting software that schools can use to maintain their budgets. However, as of today, as of this podcast, only the Plus and the Advanced versions of QuickBooks have the budgeting feature. So for those of you that are still using Simple Start or Essential subscriptions of QuickBooks, you're going to need to look for an outside tool like Excel or Google Sheets to create your budgets. Another good visual tool are reporting dashboards. Now, these dashboards provide visual reports that allow you to quickly see where your money is going. So when you're looking at a budgeting spreadsheet, you're looking at nothing but a bunch of numbers, a sea of numbers. So when you look at those sea of numbers, you have to dig in a little bit deeper to see what those numbers mean. On the other hand, if you have a reporting dashboard, that has different charts, you can quickly see your budget to actual just at one glance. Okay, so let's recap the key points of today's episode. Number one, you want to start by understanding your income streams, which could be tuition, fees, retail sales, and clinic revenue. And you also want to make sure you're projecting conservatively. You want, number two, categorize your expenses into fixed and variable costs. And don't forget to build an emergency fund. It's extremely important that you build an emergency fund. Start small and build your way up. Don't try to do it all at one time because it can be discouraging if you're not successful. Number three, plan for growth strategically. And you want to ensure every expense has a clear return on investment. Don't just spend willy-nilly. Number four, you want to track your actual income and expenses monthly and adjust your budget as needed. Number five, you want to avoid common pitfalls like ignoring small expenses, skipping maintenance and budgeting as an expense, and overstating income. So budgeting doesn't have to be intimidating. I know it can seem that way, right? But think of it as your financial GPS keeping you on track and having you navigate unexpected bumps in the road. If you look at it that way, it comes across as less intimidating. Okay, guys, that's all for today's podcast on Cosmetology School Accounting. If you found this helpful, subscribe and share it with other cosmetology school owners who could use financial clarity. And if you're looking for tailored budgeting help, I'd love to work with you. Check the links in the description for more information. Thanks for tuning in. And remember, a great budget isn't just a plan, it's your path to success. See you next time. Thank you for tuning in to Cosmetology School Accounting. We hope today's insight helped you navigate your financial journey with confidence. If you found value in this episode, please share it with your colleagues and leave us a review. For more resources and updates, follow us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Profit and Beauty. And visit our website at andersonaccounting3.com. You can find all these links in the show notes. Stay tuned for our next episode where we'll explore more topics tailored to the accounting needs of cosmetology schools. Until then, keep thriving in your financial endeavors.